Listen to the voices of our world.
You'll want to make the argument. You can't be too concerned about your health. The fact is, you can be.
The pharmaceutical industry spends more on marketing than it does for research and development.
And anything that you begin to take that you believe is helping you becomes something that you stay with for a very, very long time.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. The United States has become the place where a pill can cure all ills, from restless leg syndrome to insomnia to toenail fungus. If you didn't know you had it before, pharmaceutical companies are making sure you know it now and how to treat it with their new direct-to-consumer prescription drug marketing campaigns. Today, we'll talk with Public Citizen Research Associate Dr. Larry Sosik, Commissioner of the Pharmaceutical Advertising Advisory Board of Canada, Mr. Ray Chapsuk, and Dr. Phil Gold, Professor of Medicine at McGill University, about how the marketing of prescription drugs is changing the patient-doctor relationship.
And you say, take this, this medicine is just what you deserve.
It was a Friday night in the Bott household. I was tired, but I still had a ton of stuff to do around the house. So to give myself a boost, I made some coffee and wolfed down a couple of donuts. No, I'm not proud of my snack choice, but at the time, I really was just looking for some quick energy. Well, guess who came knocking on my door? A little gastrointestinal distress. So now I'm down on the couch, letting my digestive system finish its gyrations, getting nothing done, when I see this commercial on TV. It asks, "Are you a woman?" Well, I said yes. It said, "Do you experience bloating, nausea, gas?" Wow, I said, "Yes, yes, and yes." It also asked, "Were these symptoms chronic?" I thought to myself, the last time I had coffee and donuts, the same thing happened, so I would say yes. This company is a mind reader. They're talking directly to me. I must have this dyspepsia they're talking about. I must call my doctor in the morning and make an appointment, I thought, amid moans and groans connected to my current discomfort. Just call me a hypochondriac. It was obviously the coffee and donuts. But there are large numbers of Americans who react the same way I did and follow through, making an appointment with their doctor. The Kaiser Family Foundation reports that in 2004, the pharmaceutical company spent $4 billion on television commercials looking for this scenario. The Kaiser Family Foundation continues to tell us in a study on the effects of direct-to-consumer marketing of prescription drugs that 44% of the people who ask for the drugs they saw advertised got them. Now, a lot of these TV-marketed drugs are not unique. In some cases, there are older, more proven, less expensive drugs available. So now ask yourself, is that little purple pill worth the risks to yourself and the cost to an already overburdened health insurance industry? Dr. Larry Sosik, a research associate for Public Citizen and a pharmacist at the Lake Erie College of Medicine, talks with producer Kathy Golden about how the marketing of prescription drugs has changed your doctor visits.
Let me start by saying that myself and Public Citizen are in full support of the First Amendment to the Constitution, and we've never called for an outright ban on direct consumer advertising. We don't think that it could be done constitutionally. We think the problem is that consumers have no ready access to objective information about the risks and the benefits of the drugs that they're prescribed that's written specifically for them in a context that they can understand. And this would allow them to make an informed decision along with their physicians about whether or not they wanted to take a drug.
So, doctor, am I correct in assuming that us wonderful hypochondriacs sitting at home doing armchair diagnoses are going to rush in and ask for the sample of that product?
Well, that seems to be working very well. Direct-to-consumer advertising has been quite successful. So successful, as a matter of fact, some members of Congress have pointed out the fact that expenditures for drugs are increasing and the drugs that are being advertised are, for the most part, nothing special. They're the fifth or sixth drug in a particular market. And this becomes even more critical next year when the Medicare Modernization Act and the prescription drug benefit for seniors kicks in. And we can't afford, and that program won't be sustainable, if we're spending a lot of money for brand new, brand name drugs that offer nothing special over drugs that we already have, and in fact might even be less safe and less effective than drugs that we already have.
But I am wondering, is money that would go to research and development on things that might help cervical cancer going to market Vioxx and Remedin and Zocor and all of that?
Yeah, we've known since Senate hearings held in 1959 that, in fact, the pharmaceutical industry spends more on marketing than it does for research and development. And I think this is particularly more true today than it was even in 1959.
So the decision against Merck on Vioxx, does that change the way they look at profit and spending? Although that decision could get knocked down or altered somewhat, but is that going to change their thinking for our betterment?
I doubt it. We've seen other situations like this with other drugs that have ultimately been withdrawn from the market in the United States, that companies knew about a problem, but they thought that they could still sell billions and billions of dollars worth of a drug. And if they did have to go to court, if they lost, this was the cost of doing business.
As a potential patient, and we all are, I sit in a doctor's waiting room and I see these guys show up in suit and tie and they've got a briefcase and you know it's full of samples. And is the lure that great?
Yeah, there's a lot of perks that a private physician could receive from a pharmaceutical manufacturer and a pharmaceutical rep. Not only the free samples, but free lunches, free dinners, free continuing education trips to nice destinations, and those kinds of things. And so certainly physicians are vulnerable to this kind of advertising. It's certainly nothing that the majority of them would ever admit.
What about the role of the FDA and even the AMA? Is anyone really, really watchdogging this and speaking out against it?
Well, the area that the FDA, where they can step in, is to ensure that whatever advertising is taking place is not false and misleading, and that the only uses that a drug is being advertised for are uses that are approved by the FDA. When we use the term off-label, that means when a drug is promoted for a use that hasn't been approved, and that is illegal. But the one thing that the FDA can't do is to be in every doctor's office in the United States to observe the interaction between a drug rep and a physician. Unfortunately, the AMA and other trade groups representing physicians have only acceded to voluntary guidelines.
If you're just joining us, this is Voices of Our World, and we're talking with Dr. Larry Sasek, research associate with Public Citizen and a pharmacist at the Lake Erie College of Medicine.
What are the problems and the excesses and abuses that Big Pharma is committing that you find most problematic?
Well, one of the fundamental problems, but I mean, for the vast majority of people and for the vast majority of patients, it has been Big Pharma being one of the roadblocks that has prevented the FDA from implementing regulations that would require the distribution of useful prescription drug information to be distributed by pharmacists with each new and refill prescription. This would be FDA-approved materials. The information that patients currently receive at pharmacies from pharmacist computer systems are produced by unregulated commercial vendors. And in two large surveys of the quality of this information has failed to meet minimum quality guidelines. So, as I said before, one of the biggest problems that exist is the lack of access to good information for patients. Patients are, you could almost imagine them as being naked in the pharmaceutical marketplace, nothing to protect them.
How much oversight is there with regard to interaction? You know, you could have a 60-something-year-old person on 5 prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm. That certainly is a problem, and the FDA has started to require or tried to get manufacturers to include older people in clinical trials. So we get a little bit more information about how a drug might work in older populations. And the same goes for women. The problem is the trials that are conducted to get a drug approved are very narrow in the sense that a patient has a particular disease, they're in a certain age range. But once the drug gets approved, then any physician can prescribe it to any patient.
So let's say with Public Citizen, you're obviously not going up Capitol Hill and offering junkets to Vegas.
Well, no. I can't even afford to go.
Me neither, Larry. But what is Public Citizen recommending?
We have advocated very strongly for this FDA-approved written information to be distributed with each new and refill prescription since 1979. And we'll continue to advocate for it till the goal is finally reached.
What do you recommend to folks listening to us who want to know what the skinny is on all this promotion?
Well, one thing that we have said for a long, long time, and this is a total safety issue, is that patients should not use a new drug for at least 7 years unless it is one of those extremely rare products that has a documented evidence that it offers something in terms of a benefit that isn't available from older drugs. And the reason that we say 7 years is that we published a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association showing that if a drug is going to come off the market or receive a black box warning, the most serious type of warning that the FDA can require, half of the drugs will either be withdrawn or have warnings added within the first 7 years after marketing. So we call this our 7-year rule.
Mm-hmm. But you realize, because of the way we reverentially look at doctors, the average consumer in the doctor's office is not going to say, has this been available for 7 years, doctor?
Well, unfortunately, as the healthcare system becomes more like a market rather than a public service, we put more and more pressure on consumers to make decisions today that they didn't have to make 15 or 20 years ago. And these are safety issues. And the only one that will be affected by an adverse drug reaction is the patient. So they do have to become involved and they do have to do a little bit of research just to protect themselves, because there's nobody else out there, including the FDA, that's making sure that they have adequate information about the risks and benefits of the drugs that they're prescribed.
Is my family physician's conscience being tested when these guys market directly to the doctor's office as well?
May very well be. There are some physicians that refuse to see pharmaceutical reps, won't take free lunches or free dinners, and they do a very good job of actually keeping current with what's in the scientific literature and what safety issues are. Then on the other hand, there are a whole lot of physicians that get the majority of their information from the pharmaceutical industry. And I can't tell a consumer, how do you tell a doctor who takes free lunches from one who doesn't take free lunches? Mm. The only way to do it is to ask.
Mm. Well, that's a burden. So bottom line, the best guardian for yourself and your family is you.
Certainly, you have to be part of the process. And as I said earlier, because of the structure of the healthcare market in this country, that we continually place more and more burden and expect consumers to make more and more decisions now than ever before. And that's not necessarily right.
The toe bone connected to the heel bone. The heel bone connected to the foot bone.
Are prescription drug commercials helpful or harmful? Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. And just click on Contact Us. Or you can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.